Stand, shall we? I won't be long, I promise that. It's just a matter of your definition of long, that's all. And amen. You think I'm long, you have no idea. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, let's read verses 1 through 4. Follow along, please, beginning with verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's talk to you, preach to you, speak to you, however you want to say it. I'm going to speak to you on this subject, soldiers. One word, soldiers. I saw a little bit about it in the presentation. I hope you'll listen. We won't be long, so just give me a hearing, would you please? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I pray that you bless us. Lord, thank you now for this book. We come here today because of this book. That's what helps us. Lord, we're thankful for the presentation. We're thankful for the pictures that remind us of our heritage, of our country. We're thankful of America. But dear God, I pray now that we focus on this one word, soldiers. Help us to understand its meaning. Help us to apply it to our hearts and lives. And Father, help us to be soldiers. Not soldiers of the military, but soldiers of the cross. And I pray you'd speak to our hearts now. Open up our ears that we may hear. Bless us, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What does soldier mean? I looked in the dictionary, and the Webster's dictionary said this: soldier is an enlisted person who serves in the military. If it applied to a Christian, it would be an enlisted person who serves in the Lord's army. That's interesting. An enlisted person who serves in the Lord's army. In the Greek, the word soldier means a man of war, a man that warreth. In other words, if you're a Christian here today and you're a soldier, you are warring. You are in a battle. And the more you get on the battlefield, this isn't the battlefield, amen. This is our haven of rest. This is our refuge on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. The real battle goes outside the walls. And I believe I was going out with Ron the other day, and we were talking. And I said, we're in a battle. We were out knocking doors in Middleboro, in fact. And I hope this wasn't the door we knocked on, but we were talking, and we're going, and we went by a door, and all of a sudden we see the door shut. Boy, I see more of that than any other thing in the world. And you just go, and the door just shuts, and we were in another door. We talked, and we started to walk out, and I heard some talking. Are they gone yet? Little kids were out. Yeah, they're gone. They're gone, Mom. Of course, we weren't. We were behind the bushes. Amen. And Ron looks at me, and you know, we're kind of looking. What should we do? Well, let's just start walking. So we got outside those bushes, and the kids, you know, the kids were walking now, and we walked out, and I saw these horrified looks on these little girls. They're not gone. And we walked up to the door where the mom was, and I said, Ron, you want me to take it? I always ask Ron, you want me to take the tough ones, or you want the? And he was bold. He said, I'll take it. And so he went up there, knocked on the door, and the door was open where it was shut, and a lady didn't even come to the door, I don't believe. And Ron knocked on the door, and the lady, we're not interested. Oh, that's so easy to say, isn't it? And we walked away, and I thought, boy, they're going to be interested one day. They'll be interested. You know, a soldier is one that wars, that does battle. Are you doing battle today? Because if you're not doing battle, you can't be termed a soldier. I had a cousin years ago. Gary Hubbard was my cousin. He lived in St. Louis, and he was a Cardinal fan. I like that. We grew up together. When we'd take vacations, Mom and Dad would take us over to Aunt Betty, Aunt Lois, and Uncle, what's his name now? I forgot. Honey, do you know my Uncle Lois and Bill, Uncle Bill? And Gary was he is 1 year older than me. And I think Gary went off in a different direction, and he enlisted in the armed forces, enlisted in the Marines. I got a call one year while in college, I believe it was 1981, and my mom called and she talked to me and she said, "Son, I have good bad news." And I said, "What is it?" She says, "Your cousin Gary was killed in duty." She said something about him being on a truck, and the truck hit something, a pothole or something, overturned, and Gary's neck snapped and broke, and Gary went off into eternity. He lost his life while giving his life to his country. That's what a soldier does. A soldier risks his life. Doesn't matter. If you're a soldier of the cross today, you're going to risk your life. You say, "Preacher, you mean risk your life?" I mean risk your life. My wife and I were out at North Valley Baptist Church in California a number of years ago for a pastor's conference, and they were just showing their allegiance to the country, showing how much they loved their country, something like we did. They did a presentation, and then they had some members of the church come up, and they were doing a presentation for a soldier, somebody that died in battle, a young man. And the parents come up on stage, and of course they're hugging the pastor, and tears streaming down their cheeks. Their son had just lost their life in battle, one of the over 3,000 young men that had given their lives to the cause of this country over in Iraq. And they were hugging and they were crying, and the pastor gave them some rewards and just was talking to them. Then he asked the dad to speak. And his dad began to speak, and he says, "I'm proud of my son," he said. He said, "Ever since September 11th, when my son saw those planes go into those towers in New York City, he said he saw that president say that we're going to go after him. We will not stop. We will not rest till we get a hold of the enemy." He said, "When he saw that president say that, my son's eyes began to broaden, and my son saw a cause, saw a need." He said, "My 18-year-old son enlisted in the armed forces and decided that he was going to go serve his country for a cause." He said to me, "Is there not a cause?" And I say to us today, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason why you and I should not become soldiers of the cross? I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about soldiers. We're citizens. We love our country, but we're not soldiers fighting in Iraq. There's a difference. The soldiers over in battle are giving their lives. They're risking their very life for a cause. And that cause is America and freedom for us. And you and I have a cause. Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for you and I to be soldiers of the cross? I think there is. David, as a young boy, saw the Philistines over on the other side in the valley, stood a giant. And over on the other side, he saw all the children of Israel standing and looking and gazing and hearing that man, that giant that stood 10 feet tall, and heard him defy the army of the living God. I still recall David in Scripture going to his brothers and going to those so-called soldiers. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And he took that slingshot, and he took those five smooth stones, and he rushed down from that mountaintop, and he went off into battle to do battle one-on-one against that giant. When nobody else would, David decided to be a soldier because he had a cause. See, you'll never become a soldier unless there's a cause. And folks, there's a cause tonight. There's a cause why some of us need to get in the battle. There's a cause because people are dying and going to hell. That's the cause. Your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, your family members, many of them dying and on their way to hell. There's a need for you and I to become soldiers of the cross. God's calling for soldiers. Are you a soldier? No, I didn't say, are you saved? I didn't say, are you a Baptist? I didn't say, have you been baptized? I didn't say, have you been born again? I said, are you a soldier? Because being a soldier is different from being saved. Many people are saved, but there's few soldiers. A soldier gives his life. A soldier is a soldier who sacrifices his life. A soldier is one that gives up many of the other things that you and I enjoy for a cause. I want you to notice three earmarks of a soldier based on what the Bible says, 2 Timothy. Number one, a soldier reports for duty. reports. That means he enlists. You and I know a soldier. Now look, I've never been a soldier. If I was a soldier, give me this one right here. If I was a soldier, I'd be able to give you a lot of illustrations, but I haven't been. I'm looking out and I see some soldiers here. Some of you have been in the armed forces. God bless you and thank you. I salute you for serving our country. You've been a soldier. You know what I'm talking about. Things that you had to give up for a cause. But a soldier reports for duty. A soldier of the cross to serve Jesus Christ, he volunteers. He makes a decision. And he makes a decision to live a different way of life. Reporting for duty will change how you live. When you report for the armed forces or the army or the Marines or the Navy or the Air Force, when you report for duty, you know one thing. You know your life is about to change. It's going to be different from the civilian life. And when you make a decision to volunteer for the Lord's army, you know one thing. It's going to be a different life. Things will change. Years ago, 1978, I guess it was around September, October, I was a new Christian, been saved on June 25th, 1977. In fact, tomorrow will be my 30th anniversary of knowing my Savior. I've been saved for just a couple months, and the Lord began dealing with my heart about this thing, about being a soldier. I didn't say I'm going to be a soldier, but the Lord dealt with my heart. I had a friend named Brian Vanderpool who was dying and going to die and go to hell one day, and God began, and I didn't know how to witness to him. I didn't know how to give him the scripture, and I just had no idea. And I'd heard different things, but I came back from church. My wife probably remembers, came back from church, went to church in Simi Valley, California. We drove, and we lived in Canoga Park, California. It's probably about a 20-minute drive. We drove back from an evening service, and we had just gotten our new apartment, been living there about 3 or 4 months, and I pulled into the parking place there at the apartment. I turned off the keys, and I began to cry. I told my wife, I said, I believe God wants me to go to school, and I cried like a baby. And I don't even remember what she said. I think I shocked her. She knew life was about to change. Buddy, did it change. We had an apartment, cost $250. I was a jack-in-the-box manager. I know, God help me. I was a jack-in-the-box manager. And she worked at a jack-in-the-box. We were jack-in-the-box all the way. She worked at a jack-in-the-box across town. She was making a little less money than me, but she was making money over there working a jack-in-the-box, and I was working a jack-in-the-box there in town. And literally, she would bring home her paychecks and just stack them up. We wouldn't even cash them. God was taking care of us. We were living in an apartment. God was taking care of us. We had money. Everything was fine. We thought we can save and get a house and in California, and everything was fine. And then I shocked her and said, I believe God wants me to go to school. Things change quick. You see, when you volunteer and make a decision for the Lord's army, life changes. Are you ready for a change? Are you ready for your life and your style of living to change? You make a decision to go in the bus ministry, you're going to have to go out on Saturdays or some other time and visit. Fill that bus up. You're going to have to get up early, maybe earlier than other people, and come down and get that bus going. Go out and pick up boys and girls, be on that hot, sweaty bus during the summertime. It's going to take a sacrifice. Decide to give your life to the youth ministry. It may cause you to sacrifice more hours for teenagers. You might see some teenagers break your heart. Your life's going to change as a soldier. But the only way to be a soldier is to report for duty. By the way, when you report and you go to the recruiter, doesn't the recruiter tell you all the benefits? Sometimes we think of, I don't know, sounds like something I don't want to get involved in. I don't want to sacrifice my life for the cause of Christ. I don't want to get involved in a ministry here or a ministry there. I don't want to be a missionary. Hey, there are advantages. There are benefits. You go into the armed forces, you might get your education paid for. You might get a good pension. You might do a number of different things. But when you sign up and you become a soldier of the cross, you're going to get some rewards in heaven. Well, I know they're not going to be here. You say, well,
I know, because we're temporal-minded instead of eternal-minded. But let me tell you something. There are rewards in heaven waiting for soldiers of the cross. I know you may not get much notoriety down here. People may not say much about you. You may not get famous. You may not have your name plastered on who's who in America. But your Savior knows you. And that one that died for you knows all about you and the sacrifice. By the way, there will be rewards on earth. You see somebody accept Christ as their Savior. Oh, what joy. To know that God could use you to give the gospel and see somebody bow their head and accept Christ. Joy unspeakable. Number one, he reports for duty. Let me ask you a question. Would you report for duty? Yes, sir, Savior. Yes, sir, sir. Reporting for duty. Private. See, mister. I'll put your name in there. But your life will change. Let me tell you something. If your life hasn't changed since you got saved, you can't have become a soldier. Because lives change. Number two, you respond to orders. In verse number 4 there, it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The only way you're going to please Jesus Christ is you respond to orders. Because obedience is what the Lord looks for. God blesses, listen now, God blesses obedience. He obeys the Lord. Sometimes he'll endure hardness. Paul was writing from a prison in Rome. Just a few short months, he'd be beheaded for the cause of Christ. But he's writing a letter to his preacher boy in 2 Timothy. He suffered multiple things. He suffered lawsuit. He suffered shipwreck. He suffered floggings. He suffered stonings. He suffered so many things that he suffered, all for the cause of Christ. I wish I could tell you I suffered greatly. Oh, I've had lawsuits threatened against me just for going up to a teenager and giving them a tract trying to win them to Christ. I've had lawsuits from going into an apartment complex and leaving a brochure and somebody calling me up on the phone saying, I'm going to sue you. You ever come back here again, I'll sue you. I'll sue your church. I'll sue everything you stand for. Yeah, I suffered that. I've suffered cursings. I've had people look at me and curse me to my face. I've had people spit at me for me speaking this book. I've had somebody threaten to kill me. So I walk up to somebody and try to make a visit. I go to the wrong house. I began to give them a tract and say, well, here's something. Get off my property or I'll kill you. I've had that happen to me. You see, when you're a soldier, you live a different life. You won't get that in here. People here love you. You speak this book, nobody's going to spit at your face. Nobody's going to curse you, I hope. But when you get outside on the battlefield, that's when the rubber meets the road. You see, you're going to have to be obedient. You're going to have to respond to orders. I don't know of any soldier that would be a good soldier if he didn't respond to orders. Chosen. The word chosen there in Scripture means enroll. In other words, God has put you on the roll book. He's enrolled you. Did you know when you enroll, if you have enrollment, when we were in school, we enrolled in school. They put us on a roll book. Didn't mean you had to show up for school, just meant you were on the roll book. You could do what you please. When you get saved here and you get baptized, we put you on the membership roll. You're a member. I'm sad to say we have a number of members that aren't here today that many times never come here, but they're a member. They're on the roll. They're not soldiers, but they're on the roll. I've often said I'd rather have somebody come and not be a member than somebody be a member and not come, if that makes sense. But members are enrolled, but it doesn't mean that they're a soldier. God, the Bible says, has enrolled you as a soldier. What kind of soldier you become is up to you. You can be AWOL, but that's up to you. Quickly, because of time. Number three, notice in Scripture, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of life. The third thing a soldier is, he's one that refuses to be distracted. The word entangle means to be involved with. In other words, a soldier does not become involved with the affairs of this life. Now listen to me, listen to me. It's okay if you want to go to a ball game on Sunday or go fishing. I can't stop you. You want to stay home, watch TV? I can't stop you. But you're not a soldier. Because you have been entangled with the affairs of this life. And if you're a soldier, you have a cause. And you have to give up something. You know why? Besides the fact that I'm a preacher and you pay me to do this. Did you know when I go on vacation, I go to church? Because I'm a soldier. Amen. I'm a soldier. Miss Donna, she goes to visit her mom on the weekends about once a month. Seems like about every week in my mind. Once a month. She goes to church. Amen. She's a soldier. Today we're losing a soldier. Oh, we're not losing a soldier of the Lord. We're losing a soldier of Faith Baptist. She'll still be a soldier of the Lord. She'll just be serving in a different land. Amen. Is this thing on, Sean? Turn me up just a little bit. See, the Bible says no soldier will entangle himself, means to be involved in the affairs of this life. In other words, you can go fishing, that's fine. You can go golfing on Sunday. You can go golfing on Sunday night if you want, but you're not a soldier. Hey, you can get involved in different things. That's why I say before, be careful about what you get involved with. Because the devil tries to distract you so that you don't become a soldier. Once you're saved, he can't touch your soul, but he can get you out of the fire of battle, off onto another place so you're not on the battlefield. God wants us on the battlefield. The devil wants us off on the battlefield. You know those soldiers in Iraq, when the president made the orders, we're going to send more troops in. If I was a soldier there, you know what I would have said? Praise God. There's more soldiers. You know what we need? More soldiers. Anybody that's a soldier would tell you, oh, if we had more reinforcements, if we had more people to toe the line here, we could do better and win this victory. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying we need some soldiers. Timothy, we need you to be a soldier. We need you to teach them. Find some faithful men. By the way, you know who I want to spend my time with is faithful people. People with a heart for God. Now look, I love everyone in here. But if you don't have a heart for God, I can't give you that heart. You've got to get the heart for God. I can't do it. I can love you. I can pray for you. I can do all I can. But I want to spend my time. Look at verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to who? Not just anybody. Who? Faithful men. Who shall be able to teach others? Oh, we get this. I've got to be somebody that's talented. No, you just got to be faithful. Because it's the faithful person that will teach others. And what this preacher has learned, it's the people that are faithful are the people that God's looking for. And in turn, I look for faithful people. I look for the person that comes through those doors on Sunday morning. And they're back again Sunday night. And they're here Wednesday night. Boy, they're in their place. They'll maybe come up, as somebody was here recently, come up, and I don't even know about it, and they'll come up and do a job around the house and the church, and I didn't ask them to, but they're here. They're giving their time. Boy, those are the kind of people I want to invest in. The Bible says you must refuse to be distracted. Family things that come on Sunday, don't get mad at me, but that's a distraction. You say, preacher, don't you love family? I love family. I am a family man. But I've learned that the devil will take good things to take away the soldiers from the field. You're a soldier. You're called to be a soldier. But preacher, the family's in town. Find the family and do the family thing from when I'm done, which may be soon. When I'm done, all the way to coming back Sunday night, do the family thing there. And do it Monday and do it Tuesday. I'm not against family, but when the things interfere, put the family first. Avoid the distractions of life. That's a soldier. If a soldier's out on the field in battle, he can't be distracted. Bullets are flying everywhere. He He can't be distracted by over there or thinking about home. He's in battle. If he's distracted, it may mean his life. The devil's good at getting distractions in our lives. Good things. Great things. I love boats. I went with Gene the other day on a boat. I want to go again. If you don't ask me again, I'm going to be hurt. I love boats. But Gene knows he's not going to ask the preacher to go on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. But he can ask me to go Monday and Tuesday. In fact, I might go both days, Monday and Tuesday. And there's other things I need to do. I need to go soul winning and talk to people, and I need to study. But there's a time to get away and enjoy the things of life besides just being a soldier. I'm not against that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the devil's good at bringing distractions into our life when time should be spent being a soldier. Be careful of that. If you're a soldier, you're going to have to put away those things, perhaps, for another time. Are you a soldier? Are you one that reports for duty? Have you volunteered? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm saying reporting for duty. Okay, Lord, reporting for duty. What is it you want me to do? I'll do anything. Is that you? Are you one that responds to orders? Are you one that refuses to be distracted? That's just the tip of the iceberg. But God's looking for soldiers today. You know what? Look, a soldier life will be different from other lives. Remember those pictures of those two soldiers? Wheelchair, legs cut off. We don't want that, do we? But you know, when you become a soldier in the Lord's army, somebody might cuss you out. I count it an honor to suffer for the name of Christ. It is an honor to suffer for my Lord. Amen. Considering what he did on a cruel cross behind that screen, for me to suffer in that respect is an honor. Are you a soldier? Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray that you bless us. My time's up. Lord, thank you for the soldiers that fight on foreign soil to defend our country. I thank you for each one. And I'm reminded today that they are giving their lives. They are sacrificing so much. We salute our soldiers over in Iraq, Korea, Afghanistan, other places to defend our freedom. Thank you for each and every one. But dear God, there's call goes out for another soldier. A soldier that's not talked about too often, that many Christians don't even hear about. It's the soldier of the cross. And dear God, I pray that you work in each of our hearts. I pray that we'd examine our hearts and our lives to determine if we're a soldier. A soldier volunteers. Perhaps somebody today has never volunteered, never made themselves available to become a soldier, that their life would change for your cause and your sake. Lord, I pray today that you'd help people have a cause. If people would just be wrapped up in a cause, dear God, there'd be more soldiers, I believe. And I pray that you'd help people to examine their hearts. Perhaps somebody today would make a decision to volunteer to become a soldier of the cross. Their life would change. There'd be sacrifices. People would look at them in a different way. Give us some soldiers, dear God. Do what I possibly can't do in my own flesh. Speak to hearts today. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Before we go to soldiers, let me ask this.